You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We got a great guest today who's going to kick off a whole new world for us in terms of podcasting and in terms of relationships with some of the significant CEOs in Orange County. This is Sinan Kanatsis, who has is an internet entrepreneur, head of marketing groups and CEO groups. So welcome, Sinan.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
So tell us about, now you are a native Californian.
Yes. Born and raised in the city of Orange. My parents migrated here from Turkey and had my sister and I and lived in this beautiful county ever since then. Oh. 44 years old, so got to see it mature, grow up, get strong, and absolutely love it. Now I'm raising my own two children with my wife, Kai, in San Clemente. Have them in school down there, and we're just so blessed to have this life and to be able to do what we love doing with our work in Orange County. And I'm a native.
Well, it sounds to me like you're not only a native, but you're going to be here for a long time.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Well, so you probably grew up like me in the midst of orange groves all around.
Yeah. You know, orange groves kind of were a little bit predating me. That was more like when my dad came out here in the late 50s, when Disneyland just opened up. But there were some orange trees. A lot of those trees got cut down, turned into commercial property. There's been some developers like Don Bren that's done a good job keeping, you know, state wildlife and parks and recreation still a priority, which is why this county is so different and unique. And, you know, we've been able to afford those great spaces and that land, and but very few orange groves that come to mind.
Well, one of the great things that's happened in the last 10 years was Donald Bren and people in Laguna Beach working out that whole wilderness area there as you drive to the beach. Just amazing, amazing. Yeah. That's.
I mean, think about it, Will. Like, you come from L.A. You drive from L.A. to San Diego, right? It's like, right? That's what I call the Bren effect. Yeah. Our generation really doesn't get a lot of Brens, right? We got very lucky to have that sort of mind frame. And there's a really good book. The name escapes me, but it is about Bren's innate focus to perfection. Mm. And if you think about Orange County and the life that it affords people here at all economic ranges, it really is the pursuit of perfection. So they look at everything from climate to infrastructure to the universities to the entertainment. And it really is that one region in the world where everything exists. My good friend Jim Doty, former president of Chapman, would always say that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that Bren effect is something that's so rare. And it'll be interesting to see how that passes on within the Irvine Company, which is one of the largest privately held businesses in the world. And we've been very fortunate. A lot of people may not realize, especially the newer generations, how much an effect that one individual has had on an entire region that has almost 4 million people in it. So Orange County's really benefited from Don Bren's vision. I know there's lots of adversaries and advocates of that vision, but really that man deserves credit. His company, his supporters, has been a philanthropist, and a lot of times people get forgotten, and that's a voice that needs to be remembered.
Well, and you know, there was a saying that was very prevalent a couple of years ago, which is, don't ever underestimate the power of a small group of committed people to change the world.
Right.
Because that's the way it always happens.
Exactly. And sometimes it doesn't require masses of people, right? Just a few people to make that difference.
Small group of people.
Yeah.
Small group of people. Well, so what do you see? Where are you involved with small group of people to change the world?
So, you know, I started my business. It's called KCOM, which is a acronym for Kanatsis Communications. Was a waiter at the Olive Garden. My dad said I was really good at selling lasagna. And there was something about that interpersonal connection that I have with individuals that radiated from being a waiter at the Olive Garden into my modern career as a public relations professional. So I went to Chapman University, where my father started the soccer program in the 70s under Chapman College. And when I walked around there, I thought, you know what, this is the right place for me. Mm-hmm. And found out they had a really good communications school. And I got lucky. I took a class called How to Build a Web Page in the late 90s. And yes. it was kind of like, what am I getting into? But this seems cool, like www.nonsense.com, right? Like, how do I build a web page? It took me an entire semester to build one HTML page.
Oh, my goodness.
So the fundamentals of what I do really started with that code, those lines of code in HTML, which, you know, was difficult. And that class, believe it or not, only had 8 people in it. And had one person not showed up for that class on opening day, I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. The class would have been canceled, and those fundamental foundational skills in programming would not have been born in me. And so the combination of internet programming, people skills, and public relations was the holy grail. Mm-hmm. Then my dad gave me some key advice. He said, son, you need to go to Toastmasters. And I said, great. I love drinking beer. And I thought it was a beer drinking club. It was not a beer drinking club. But it honed my interpersonal communication skills. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm speaking one-on-one or I'm on stage at a conference speaking to 1,000 people, it feels very comfortable to me.
Sure.
It also taught me how to take out and or to stutter or to go too long on something because they time you and it's a lot of pressure, but it really gets you over that edge of feeling that pressure, and that has helped me with those people skills. And over the years, KCOM has built a great business. We've had hundreds of clients. We've represented over 1,000 brands through mm-hmm. some of our channel partners and this other company I started called the Internet Marketing Association. So as KCOM kept evolving as a PR firm and as a communications firm, there were different associations that would come ask me to speak on the internet, how it's transforming radio, dental, legal, marketing. Doesn't matter. There's all associations, right? And they said, hey, you can speak. You're young and you know how to code. Come talk to us about how our industry is changing. And so I did that, and it was fun. But I always felt unsatisfied. Either the venue was missing something, or it was too much of a – there was just a missing audience. Or if I was the best speaker that they can get on this topic, there's a missing opportunity. There's executives at Yahoo, Salesforce, these early internet companies. Why aren't they getting them? That's when the idea came up, Will, of the Internet Marketing Association. And – I just thought of those words, Internet Marketing Association. And I called my CPA. I said, hey, Vince, what do you think about this? I think it's a great idea. We need to get that name. All right, let's go get the name. How do you get a name? Copyright, trademark, filed all that. And just like that, an idea is born. Entrepreneurship, which is so prevalent in Orange County, can just be based on an idea. It's finding that niche. It's finding that little vacuum to just create a business. And so the IMA was formed about 20 years ago. It became a serious business about 10 years ago. And from there, we started doing free events. All you had to do was have a college education or some professional certification, and you can come to our event for free. And we would give you food, beverage, valet parking, and the greatest content that existed. CEOs of St. Regis Hotel, Wahoo's Fish Taco, all the people that I know here in Orange County talking about how the internet's transforming their business. That's when the idea said, this has got to be national. Mm-hmm. And we went from 300 members to 30,000 to hundreds of thousands. Mm-hmm. Our database now has over 1.3 million records in it. Those records are going through a cleansing right now. So we are really compressing that data down because we have consumable products now that we're selling at the IMA, which is really around a certification. So we teach people soup to nuts, internet marketing. You come to the IMA for $997, we teach you that. And it's all video-based training. It's the same platform that Tony Robbins uses called mm-hmm. Lightspeed Virtual Training. We're really excited about this. And I'll end with this. You asked me a simple question, people skills.
Yeah.
KCOM, lots of clients, right? IMA, the world. IEC was a third business I started 3 years ago with my partner, Kevin Maloney, who's a former PR client of mine. He has a great network in cryptocurrency, blockchain, fantastic individual. I said, let's join forces. You become the CEO of IEC, and I'm going to create the International Executive Council, which is a leadership group of CEOs here in Orange County, and we're proud to have 71 founding members. We have everyone from the chairman of First American Capital to startup companies that have lots of momentum. And together, we meet as a group once a month on average with very high-end signature events with the CEO of ViewSonic to the founder of Auction.com hosting us at their homes or their businesses. And nothing is about selling. It's about educating. The last event we had with the founder of Blizzard Entertainment, Michael Morfane, it's untouchable people that we have access to because they want to share their story and help us as rising entrepreneurs. And then we meet as a group and we talk about our personal and professional challenges and counsel each other through them. So those are the three businesses. And those are the types of people that I touch in my daily life, in my business. And it's all a people business at the end of the day.
All a people business. And one of the things that I've noticed that has been a major mind shift that I've observed in the world today is that as we move from a transactional economy where what you're doing is looking for people with problems so that you can provide them, when appropriate, your product or service to solve their problem.
Right.
Now, that to me creates a dependency. It creates at best, it's not manipulative. At worst, it's very manipulative.
Right.
All right. So that transactional economy is being replaced by a transformative economy.
Yeah.
And that means what I hear you talking about just reinforces what I've been observing is that we're moving from trying to identify people who have problems to people who are absolutely committed to growth,
yeah,
absolutely committed to imagination. And when you talked about having finding a niche, a vacuum, what I believe that you did is that you used your imagination,
yes,
to see the possibilities for expansion, for growth, for,
yes,
and it wasn't a matter of helping other people. It was a matter then of finding people who shared that vision with you.
Yes.
And as they do that, they are joining with you, not buying from you.
Yes.
Now, that money gets exchanged. That to me is a side benefit. The reality is that their life is built by moving into this imaginative space.
Yes.
I mean, that's what Blizzard did. Blizzard transformed the way of building leadership. Mm-hmm. My grandson, as he was growing up, the whole family was absolutely dedicated to World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had setups in every bedroom,
right,
and every night they would be on. And of course, they went right to the top, whatever the highest level was.
Right.
But then I observed my grandson at 14 years old, leading guilds, leading people who I found out were 30, 40, 50, 60 years old.
Right.
And at first, I was astounded by video games. But as I observed, he became the leader, the problem solver for this guild.
Yeah.
And he did that for 3 years, very successfully. He is now just passed his engineer certification,
wow,
in the LA County Fire Department. This kid is on the way.
Right.
That was his,
sure,
transformative experience.
Yes, yes, through gaming.
Absolutely.
And did you know that a lot of gaming now is going into education? So you look at, I have a friend who's a very successful entrepreneur, and he's building schools all around the world to help impoverished children.
Mm-hmm.
And the education that he's facilitating is through gameplay. And that really is the real deal, because, you know, the next generation really likes mobile gaming. And if you can teach education through that type of platform, it's a way to really engage people like your grandson. And it really develops the brain. It builds a better brain,
mm-hmm,
in a way where you're not wasting your time playing games, but you're actually learning through gameplay.
Well, when I was growing up, games were a relief from the tedium of a school that was preparing me for something that I would never be part of.
Yeah.
I mean, I was never going to be in a corporation.
What was your favorite game playing?
Tennis.
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 Right.
I
Are you saying you're such a dinosaur that they didn't have Atari when you were young?
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
No. I mean, when you get to have a domain called willchris.com, that means that you were pretty close to being president.
So
when it
there
started.
Was no Atari, no ColecoVision.
No.
You
no,
were
no,
playing
no.
tennis.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to tell you, when I got to be an eighth grader and I looked around and realized that there was a whole lot of guys that had a lot of relationships and I didn't.
Right.
But they were all playing football.
Sure.
So I said, all right, let's go. And, I gave a couple of front teeth to the football experience, which lasted one season and one spring season.
So what are your thoughts? Your grandson grows up gaming. Mm-hmm. You grow up playing tennis. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this modern technology, gameplay, social media, whatever it may be, in the hands of youth is a good or a bad thing?
Well, I think anything can be good or bad. I mean, I don't believe that that game playing or tennis in and of themselves are a thing. They are imaginative spaces that Right. we move into. And it's that kind of space, it's moving into that space that allows us to create not necessarily solutions, but new possibilities.
I mean,
I live in a 13.7 billion year world.
Okay.
My office, I have Hubble pictures of as far back as you can see of the ultra deep sure. Hubble space.
Right.
And so for me, our experience is 13.7 billion years. Now, back at the Big Bang,
right.
some little infinitesimally small amount of whatever was there. You and I were in that.
It's amazing.
We didn't come from someplace else, so we have been around for 13.7 billion years.
It's pretty amazing when you take the perspective back, right? Imagine we're sitting in a building in this room mm-hmm. doing a podcast, mm-hmm. but if we were a satellite and we just flew over us and we kept going out into space and looking at how small we are at the end of the day. And I was once on a cruise, I'll never forget this, and they had a planetarium in the cruise, and it was Morgan Freeman's voice. And in that planetarium, it talked about the world and the universe and the stars and how at the end of the day, we're all just a bunch of dust. And well, isn't that amazing that this is just a moment in time that's going to transfix our own life is just going to move past through that dust. And I look at the world that way, right? Mm-hmm. So when there is a problem, mm-hmm. it's really not a problem.
No.
And going back to my thought on youth and gameplay, I have a 6 and a 4-year-old. I'm a very proud father. My daughter, who's the 6-year-old, is into playing tennis. Mm-hmm. And my wife, who's really good at sort of that parental advisement on technology or not technology. So we're a very limited screen time family. Mm-hmm. And we try to implement as much of that gameplay without the node, the mm-hmm. digital node. These sunglasses I'm holding, by the way, have a digital node in them. They're Bose sunglasses. Uh-huh. I actually listen to music.
Uh-huh.
So I am the complete opposite, right?
Yes.
Always on. I own an internet marketing company. Mm-hmm. But even when I'm around the children, I restrict that access because they model the parents. I'm very proud also to be part of the founding board of Pretend City Children's Museum. Have you heard of this museum?
No.
It's in the Irvine Spectrum area off Hubble. Mm-hmm. We've had millions of people come through the museum since we opened 10 years ago. The Children's Museum is 2/3 the scale of a normal city, right? So mm-hmm. everything is miniaturized. And we took the best landmarks in Orange County, whether it's the public library in the city of Irvine, the city hall, the fountain in downtown Orange, and we created replicas of that 2/3 the scale, and we created an entire integrated city called Pretend City Children's Museum. The children dress up to be in a career, whether it's in the fake Trader Joe's or the mm-hmm. library, or they want to be a police officer. And they develop better brains by that practice play. And in that museum, there is not a single node of technology, not even a display that says, welcome to Pretend City. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of going back to Little House on the Prairie. And we had research done at UCI, and I credit Linda Hunter for developing this. She was our development director and really came up with the idea of building better brains without the use of technology. And as a technologist, I was one of the most vocal board members saying, no, we need technology in this mm-hmm. museum.
Right.
I just went through Ronald Reagan's museum, and that thing is like loaded with tech. It's right. so cool.
Right.
And kids are going to love it more if we have tech. Yet, I'm really glad Linda opposed me on that because mm-hmm. now as a father, because at the time I did not have children, I see how important it is to get back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
I was just in Arkansas. My parents-in-law have a home, beautiful home in the Ozarks. No tech. You can hardly get internet access.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt really good. And I felt the pressure just slide right off my shoulders. And it's amazing because Orange County is beautiful and is perfect passion for perfection, mm-hmm. Mr. Bren. I think the one area that we're a little bit over our skis is with technology. Everyone's heads are down. Everyone is checking, and I'm guilty as anyone else in it. And I don't necessarily know if it's just a habit forming, like smoking, or if it's something that's really leading to better and productive lives for a society. And this is an area that really doesn't have answers. It's so new that we as modern professionals have to give it thought, because as we have children and grandchildren, we want to create the best outcomes for them. And sometimes I feel like technology is oversaturated. And I actually posted something on Facebook a week ago. I got something called Light Phone. Light Phone is a phone that is just the phone. And they're sold out. The company's doing very well. They're based out of Brooklyn. And I think we're, the world is moving back towards basics. And I still have my regular phone that has all my social media, my Instagram, my Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. But the Light Phone is what I use when I want to depart from that. Mm-hmm. And Evite is another company that is very people-focused. So they're empowering people to get together face-to-face. So these sort of movements are going to start to happen because the internet's already oversaturated. I think there's, what you said, like some 700,000 podcasts, mm-hmm. right? So the reality is there's just this oversaturation.
But see, what I hear in talking about this is not the technology or the lack of technology. It's imagination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that to me is what we have gloriously.
Do you think the oversaturation is clogging the imagination?
Anything can become it an in and of itself to get in the way of imagination.
Right,
and so to me the issue is neither do we have technology or not. It's how do we maximize and strengthen, encourage, and invite
right.
imagination.
Right.
Speaking this morning, we have a guest here from the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana. And when I was sharing with him some of the things that are going on in Orange County about organizational development, and he admitted that a lot of his world is yes, but. Mm-hmm. And every one of those buts had to do with the lack of imagination.
Right.
Because he allows the structure that's there to get in the way of what could be there.
Right.
And the reality is there are many things that could be there.
Right.
And decision making is choosing which one of those realities we want to manifest, we want to bring out. And this is not airy fairy or kumbaya.
Right.
This is just the choice that you make about how you're spending your time.
Sure.
This limited time that we have in this particular experience of the universe, which, by the way, if it's gone on for 13.7 billion years, there's a good chance that it's going to go on for another 13.7 billion years at least. And so,
even with all those earthquakes, huh?
Well, you know, you mentioned dust.
Yeah.
What blew my mind was that from the very first star that imploded because it had expended all of its energy.
Yes.
And then after that implosion exploded,
right.
That created all of the elements,
right.
Iron, potassium, molybdenum,
sure.
That makes us possible.
Absolutely.
So we're not just dust, we are stardust.
And isn't it amazing where something that of a miracle happens, yet as humans we're so imperfect?
Well, what do you think that star felt as it felt that it was dying? Oh, my God, it's all coming apart.
It is.
And then
right.
What does it create? The
right.
possibility of what's next.
Right.
And so to me, the imperfection is our lack of imagination. Every problem that we have, to me, is a lack of imagination, accepting the limitations that we believe are there and choosing to live with them rather than deep delve into imagination.
I have an idea for you. You need to call Joe Rogan right now and say, look, you don't need to smoke weed on your show to go deep.
No, not at all.
Look at this. This is pretty good stuff.
Sure.
But absolutely. Going back to, you know, reimagining and imagination, mm-hmm. I think, you know, creativity is formed at an early age. And my mom was an artist, so mm-hmm. she was into creative with oil and canvas, and she had a way of doing art. Mm-hmm. And that transpired into me. You know, I own an agency. A lot of what we do from the websites that
we build. Well, they gave you a model.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that creativity also follows confidence.
Oh, yes.
When you're doing creative things or you're trying to imagine or even reimagine something and convey that out to a public or a client or a show mm-hmm. or anything in that, you have to have the confidence. Mm-hmm. Confidence comes with time and with trust. Mm-hmm. And the more you start building that, the better. There's great schools in Orange County like OSHA mm-hmm. that's very creative. They focus on the arts. Mm-hmm. And I think arts is a really big component of youth development mm-hmm. and brain development to really help people go through all stages of life. It gives you a better quality of life.
Yes.
Rather than being stuck in a rat race,
yes.
you can actually extend yourself beyond that just yes. by using the creative abilities that you have, but it really follows confidence. Because I'm confident now in what I do. Yes. I go into a conference room, and it's like an art project to me. Mm-hmm. I look at the whiteboard, and I get the pen, and I start drawing vision. Mm-hmm. And that vision is back with 23 years of failure. Mm-hmm. I have seen some of my ideas not necessarily work as others. Mm-hmm. And those are mainly in the businesses that I've formed. Mm-hmm. But the ones that I've worked have really given me the confidence mm-hmm. to imagine and reimagine on behalf of my clients and to help them create the confidence to take whatever product or service that they want to take to the marketplace mm-hmm. in a imaginative way. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it's such an important attribute to this next generation growing up.
And now, I believe that moving into that world of imagination and the confidence that comes from the success and the failure to me, there is no failure to me. It's either we did what we said we would do or we have the opportunity to learn.
Yeah.
There is no failure. That's a mental construct that doesn't help us. But I believe that there are people who are blessed to have models like you did as a youngster. There are people who have are blessed to have an opportunity to go to OSHA as a school and learn it. And there are other people who may be 60, 70, 80 years old, they still have the opportunity to learn it. All of this notion that we had of, you know, you get all the brain cells you get when you're born, and maybe you get some new ones at 20, 21, but then it's downhill from there. That's not true.
No.
I mean, we are continually creating new connections in the brain and new opportunities. It's always there as an option. So for me, the excitement is in, and that is why I get excited about the world, because the people I work with, it's always a matter of reimagining, come into this world of imagination. There are no limitations outside of the limitations you allow to be there.
Right. And it's sad because, as you've probably seen in your life, there are people that you grow up with that go through life, and sometimes they lose confidence in themselves, and they step back. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that I try and find and enable and give them hope and support that they can get over it, because it's almost like a mental disease. Your confidence is a big attribute. And we talked about OSHA, which is, you know, a very expensive private school that only a few select individuals get into. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, the school systems are a place where there's so much opportunity. Mm-hmm. And what we try to do with our philanthropic work and just some of the relationships we have in the community is to help Orange County schools. We have a growing population and a growing demand on our public schools, which is where my wife and I both went. And I'm proud, you know, to be an Orange Unified School District alumni. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The reality is those schools need help. And there's great foundations like the Irvine Public School Foundation, but that's Irvine. Irvine mm-hmm. has wealth. They have discretionary income. Mm-hmm. But what about our other surrounding cities like Santa Ana and Westminster, Fullerton, Orange? Those schools are feeling taxed. And it would be nice to see more and more of our population give back. Mm-hmm. Another initiative I'm involved in is United 10 Homelessness. Orange County has a homeless rate of about 6,800 people. And United Way actually went to every city in Orange County and counted, to the best of their ability, how many homeless people exist. And they've provided great wraparound services, and they've provided great opportunities with landlords where they're actually allocating apartments to get these homeless off the streets and into homes, where the county's supporting it as well. And this is a county that can really help cure this problem. Mm-hmm. And there's issues like this. As great as Orange County is, we still have our issues. And we try to be as proactive as possible and surround our executive network around these philanthropic opportunities. And I think that's one of the greatest attributes in life is giving back. And if there's anything I can encourage your listeners, it's mm-hmm. really to take the time and think about their philanthropy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean financial. It's their time.
So let me challenge a little bit about that. Giving back is not what I see. Giving back is there somehow they're doing something for somebody who couldn't do it for themselves. And to me, the imaginative thing is to participate with, and I don't know what exactly that would mean, but to be with that, to help, is to be with that and to help imagine what's possible. Mm-hmm. And I know a number of places where putting business people together with service organizations, with mission groups, with people who are actually doing things in the field.
Yeah.
And it's that imagination, mm-hmm. and certainly resources follow. But in my experience, when you imagine it, the resources do come.
Well, giving back doesn't necessarily mean a nonprofit charity and writing a check. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about listening to your spouse, uh-huh. or listening to your children, or giving yourself the time to heal.
So that's participating.
I think
that's
there's, yeah.
being with.
Just being wise and thinking
that's
about
being
the
with.
Opportunities to give back.
Right?
Yeah.
And to me, when you talk about the technology, I mean, you can look at Zoom. For instance, you could see Zoom as, oh my goodness, people are using Zoom and they're never face-to-face, mm-hmm. all right? Okay, you could see that as a limitation. On the other hand, you could see Zoom as a way to either open the possibility of a face-to-face relationship,
right.
or as one that keeps the relationship going in the times when you're not together.
Right.
I mean, it to me, that's why I don't see technology or not technology as the choice. Mm-hmm. The real choice is, are we using it imaginatively
right.
to accomplish what it means to be a human being?
Right. I think, you know, these platforms are really interesting because we use Zoom. I'm personally not a big fan of it. I think face-to-face, mm-hmm. look at our relationship. I think the trust has a 90% growth potential mm-hmm. than if we were doing this on Zoom or if I called in remotely. Mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't give it so much depth if I wasn't here in person, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So those dynamics, I feel, have so much growth opportunity. And the CEO of Evite, Victor Cho, is a good friend of mine. We talk about this stuff all the time. They have mm-hmm. 200 million people that use their platform. And their whole motive in the world is to bring people together.
Yes,
because
yes.
our nodes have done such a great job keeping us on social media. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. the reality is when we get together, we're still humans. Mm-hmm. And we were designed, going back to your 13 billion years ago, mm-hmm. we were designed to be in collaborative settings. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I'm really passionate about, is bringing people together. Mm-hmm. When people come together and there's trust in that environment, magic mm-hmm. happens. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I'd love to observe and, mm-hmm. and see. 'Cause at the end of the day, we're humans, mm-hmm. and humans like to be with humans.
Absolutely. I grew up in a small town in South Texas. Now, there were a number, in the Rio Grande Valley, a number of small towns, just because of the way it was put together with land speculation. But a number of small towns, and each of those had intense face-to-face meetings. My father went to the First National Bank every day to make his deposit, but it was really to join for coffee with 8 or 10 other people. That was their world. Now, it did not extend far beyond that. Mm-hmm. In fact, the problems, and this is a favorite Texan thing I grew up with, the problems are always Washington.
Right.
Right? That's the problem. If we
yeah.
just get them out of our lives, everything would be fine.
Right.
Now, what I discovered in fact, my dad told me when I was a National Merit Scholar, so I could literally go, and Chapman was one of the ones that solicited me, I could go any place that I wanted to. And I said, Dad, I don't know which college to go to. He said, well, I'll tell you, son. You can go any place you want to, but if you leave Texas, they'll mess up your mind.
Yeah.
Right? Now, what leaving Texas eventually, I first went to TCU because I trusted him.
Yeah.
And it was a good thing. But when I did go to school in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and in California and various places, what I found was a much larger world
Yeah.
Now, not everybody is privileged to be able to fly into this and that and the other.
Right.
So using Zoom or the telephone or any other interactive digital connection, to me, offers the opportunity to begin a relationship that otherwise would have not even been in my imagination.
Right. And I understand that. And, you know, something I'm a little bit obsessed on, again, is that in-person stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And the delta between that and Zoom. And I understand where you're coming from. We use Zoom. Mm-hmm. It's a great platform. We have to, because we have clients in New York that want to see us.
That you would not be able... I mean, it's
better... But the aftertaste of it is not the same.
No, it's not the same.
And I don't necessarily know if a relationship actually grows after a collaborative online setting. And it's just different. You know, if I had a live studio audience here that's listening to this podcast, if there was a live audience here, the impact of the message would be different. And it's just an interesting delta, right? And and it's not good or bad. It's just
different.
Different, yes. Right? And and so those are the things that we try to study as marketers, mm-hmm. is how to get a message out, how to get that impact felt. And so we don't find a lot of people in our space that are obsessed on bringing a lot of people together. That's where we love doing, especially around the business community, because that's the world I live in. And there aren't that many people that do that. And it's something that we have a passion for. And as I get older, I realize there's more of that gap missing.
All right. But think about where business people get together today. Mm-hmm. They get together at networking events. Now, what happens at a networking event? I want to, my imagination for, I mean, not me personally, but the imagination for what I see is most people go to a networking event in order to get something. Mm-hmm. It's not just to be there.
Right.
And that's a big difference. And sure. So the whole, I interviewed the CEO of LaTip mm-hmm. on the show.
Great last organization.
Week. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they are working very hard to build face-to-face groups. That's what they're focused on. And to change it from I'm here to get something to I'm here to be here.
Right.
And I want to be with you.
Sure.
And to me, that's the beginning of the imaginative experience.
Right.
So it's not just getting people together. It's getting people together with the right environment.
Yeah.
With the right expectation.
Right.
What happened, you know, lots of networking groups started off with CEOs being there.
Right.
And then it's, I'm a vendor and I want to get in front of them. And eventually what happens is the whole organization is a vendor organization.
Yeah.
CEOs have left.
Right. Well, on the flip side of the coin, I'm an internet marketer. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'm asked on shows or conferences to really give, you know, some perspective on what are things to watch. So mm-hmm. I think for your listeners, a couple things that's important is one is what I call Internet 3.0. So Internet 1.0 is really like the World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm.
Internet 2.0 was social media. Internet 3.0, in my mind, is something called user-generated content.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at what social media has done is they've clogged the communication to benefit them financially, right? Facebook Incorporated is doing a great job at making revenue because only a small percentage of your audience can actually see or hear your message. But if you pay them, a little bit more can see it or hear it, right? But the reality is a majority still don't.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get to that majority using digital? Really, it goes back to your website. So what you're going to start seeing on a lot of websites, including our own, is your hero graphic, navigation, and then right underneath is going to be a carousel of information that you would usually see on social media but appear on that website.
Absolutely.
And there's a great platform called Indie. Neil Grover, who was CEO of Buy.com, he's here in Newport Beach. They've got TRX and a bunch of restaurants like Katarina's Club, things like that, White House, that use it to where users actually post the content. You know, so like from this podcast, if I had a photo of us being interviewed, I would post that on your website, and then people would actually see that. So that's a user, me, generating content for you. The second thing I would look at is artificial intelligence is like this buzzword, AI, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone has AI. AI came from big data because we had big data. Now it's artificial intelligence to figure out what to do with that data.
Right.
But something beyond that is starting to hatch, which is machine learning. And we have one of the greatest ML companies here in Orange County called Anduril Industries. An associate and friend of mine, Palmer Luckey, he's one of the youngest self-made billionaires in the United States, is right here, headquartered in Orange County. County built a fantastic business that does machine learning for military applications, as well as border patrol and fire applications. If you look at the firefighting industry, I have some really good friends that are firefighters in Santa Ana. You know, a fire truck connecting a hose to a fire hydrant, these apparatuses have been around for generations. But wouldn't it be interesting if there was drone technology or machine learning to really just going to the structure right away and addressing that fire? So that's kind of like the other thing that I would keep an eye on is machine learning mm-hmm. and entrepreneurs like Palmer Luckey, who I think are that next generation of the Musk, the Whitmans, that's happening right here in Orange County.
Yeah,
and it's very
yeah,
exciting for us.
Yeah. And I mean, when you talk about the website, my wife has the opportunity to work. She had it for the last 7 years to work with homeless in Riverside. Mm-hmm. And she's just getting ready to break ground on a $17 million housing project to put 50 to 75 people into permanent housing.
Nice.
And all of this work that she's been doing with the feeding ministry there has been documented on Facebook.
Right.
I mean, that's where she spends her time. And as we're looking to put together a new website, what I absolutely said must happen, there must be a way to get that same participation that
yes.
she's got on Facebook.
Right.
Right on the website.
Exactly.
And
right.
Now.
And the answer is not to just put a Facebook plugin on your website. That used to be the answer. Now it's to have an independent platform like Indy be that self-performing carousel, because then you have 100% viewability of it. So, and it gives you the control of what content can go on there and what can't.
Good.
So you can restrict
Excellent.
Who's putting that on there. So keep an eye on that Internet 3.0.
All right.
And, you know, and like I said, you know, giving back doesn't have to be philanthropic. But one thing that I would recommend, you know, is just to really self-reflect. That's been a big thing for me this year. What are things that you can change about yourself? Diet, exercise, helping your neighbor, someone that you may not have a great relationship. How can you find a way to mend that fence? That's a challenge that I'd love your audience to consider.
Sure.
And really appreciate your time today.
Good.
I mean, I didn't know what we were going to talk
there
about.
You go.
Hopefully we're talking about some cool stuff.
Well, did we?
I think so.
Excellent.
The Big Bang.
So is there anything else that you would like to say to this audience?
You know, I'm a resource. I like to help people. And I truly mean it. Everyone has an idea, a business, a concept, a struggle. I'm open to hearing it. And within reason. Right? So I'm going to lead you into a path or connect you into a relationship, but give it thought and reach out to me. If you just, my email address is sinan@kanatsis.com. My first name at my last name.com. sinan@kanatsiz.com. That comes right here to my phone.
Good.
And believe it or not, I will respond. It may not be right away, but my passion is to help people. And it's not just to give back to the community, but it's to help spark that fire.
Help
because
people
every
participate.
One of us, absolutely.
To join in.
Yeah. And that's the difference between just moving the needle a little bit and then they get on their own feet and they start running. And then they'll come back to me 3 or 4 years later and say, oh, that one connection you made, that was invaluable.
Yeah.
So relationships are my passion, and connecting those relationships has kind of been like a fun hobby that's turned into a career. So
Excellent.
Really honored to be here again today.
Glad that you're with us, Sinan. This is just one more example of how this bubbling cauldron of creativity, imagination, and resources that we call Orange County is really a model of how to thrive in business in California.
Anything's possible. Thanks.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.